What is up, Anchor Nation? This is your host, Aaron Rollins, coming at you again live and ad-free on my Anchor podcast. Appreciate all my loyal listeners tuning in once again. I am heading back home from class. I've got to scramble and go pick some stuff up from the house that I did not bring with me because I freaking forgot. You know how it is when you remember something and you think of it in the moment. And some stuff happens, and then later on you forget. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to need to grab these banners because we're going to be trying to promote interest in our student organization today. And I was like, yeah, good, I'll get them. And then I start looking for things because I can't find them, and then I find them, and then I get ready to go, and then I remember, oh, I didn't bring my water. Oh, I didn't get my breakfast drink. I'm drinking a protein shake for the morning. And I didn't grab that, so I got to go back in the house and get that. And, you know, I just kept remembering things that I forgot. And finally, I was like, I got to go. And so I get up and go. And then as I get to the house, I'm like, no! Or not to the house. I get to school. I realize I forgot my freaking banners for today's event that we're doing. I really want to do more with this student organization. It's called the Association of Military Affiliated Students. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook and Discord even. There's a lot more that I am hoping to do with this group. However, they're just not making time. You know, I go out of my way to make time. Like I'm running back to the house and coming back to campus. And it's not fair to expect people that have families or, you know, even jobs, full-time jobs outside of school to make time for this. But once a month, you know, you can show up for a couple of hours. And we've got this thing doing on campus April 19th. It's a suicide walk to raise money for nonprofits that try to prevent suicide. And suicide is a subject that's near and dear to my heart for multiple reasons, and we just don't have a lot of people wanting to participate. It's like, geez, man, what else can we freaking do? We're trying to like sell food, and it's just like these kids are just not interested. But when we start talking about scholarships and money, yeah, they kind of start paying attention. So it's like, come on, man. It's a package deal. We're trying to build something here that's going to be long-lasting. I'm not getting any benefit out of this right now. This is not a beneficial project for me. This is a project to pass on to those that step up and take my place. I'm the president, and they carry on the torch. And then, you know, the institution is built. And, you know, possibly they can spread it to other schools. Because every school I've been to had some sort of student body that represented the interest of veterans and their beneficiaries, or even active military, like reservists. Well, active duty and reserves are two different things, but you get what I'm saying. If there are students on campus that had a military affiliation, there was a body on campus to represent their interests. And at UMHB, it's over 300 in total, you know, with people using the GI Bill or some sort of military benefits, and then the actual people that served or are serving. And I think it's over 100 of, you know, military guys and gals, and then it's over 200 of their families. And so, you know, this is a big demographic. And it's like, if you guys were just willing to put a little bit of your time and attention into this, we could build something that the university will recognize as important and necessary. Right now, they don't see it. And I don't blame them. My problem is, though, is that they're the mindset of you got to get them to come and then we'll build it. And it's never in the history of marketing that you get them to come and then you build it. You build it and then they come. If you build it, they will come. I still can't remember what line that's from. It's from a movie, I know for sure. But anyway, they need to know that their money is going to be solidly invested if they start setting money aside for us for office space and a student worker position, which is what we want to do. Those are long-term targets, long-range targets that we're going to try to hit probably next year. But this year we got to drive people to show up, drive people to turn out. I'm graduating. I'm not going to be there in the fall semester. I know that for sure. I do have a summer mini semester class, but that's it after that. So somebody is going to have to get up and get going. And I honestly don't know who it is. My vice president is really pushing. He's pushing an agenda, and it's like, this is cool and all, but you got to manage your expectations, and he's just not doing that. He's getting, you know, all irritable and shit because people aren't wanting to participate and show up. And it's like, dude, that's the reality of what we've been fighting off for the last year and a half, or are fighting against for the last year and a half, is that we can't get people to come, you know, for one reason or another. So we gotta get something creative. We gotta get something that's really gonna catch people's eye. And hopefully this suicide walk on campus, where we're all wearing our organization shirts. We got these polos made. We're wearing those. It's like, we need to be able to demonstrate our presence to people, and that we serve a purpose. We're not just trying to get a handout or, you know, get people's money or whatever. Like, we don't collect dues. Some organizations do collect dues because they use it to fund food and parties and stuff like that. And we don't do that. I've used the university's money and my own personal money for this project. And, you know, that's the kind of sacrifice it takes to get something like this done, because the university's not going to back every financial decision you make. They can't, for whatever reason. You have to forgive me if it's loud. I'm driving in my truck. My windows are rolled up, but whatever. Anyway, so that's where, you know, my head's at right now. It's just another attention distraction. Because you got, you know, all your classes that you've got to take and exams you got to study for and blah, bliggity, blah, blah, blah. You got to apply for your master's programs and crap. Get your letters of recommendation sent out and, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so here we are. It's April. Just had Easter. And, man, Easter was fun. I don't know if you guys had a good time, but I sure as heck did. We did a nighttime Easter egg hunt. And my brother's middle son just had a meltdown, man. It was like, I remember being that kid when I could not keep up with all the other kids bigger than me, especially my brother. My brother just grew so much bigger, so fast. I was showing one of my teachers in class. I was like, here's me, and then here's my brother in eighth grade. And you can see he's almost a foot taller than me. And then my dad's also tall, and his sisters were like 6 foot or taller, and all of his brothers were over 6 feet tall, and I'm over here sitting like 5'8", if I'm lucky. You know, some scales don't even put me at 5'8", and I'm like, I'm 5'8" at least. Anyway, so I was sitting through class, and what brought that up is that we were talking in class about that. Is that, you know, your nutrition while you're growing is incredibly important. And not to throw blame on anybody, but my nutrition was shit. My nutrition was shit when I was a kid. And it was obvious. I mean, I ended up getting hurt because I didn't take care of myself. I mean, yeah, I was working out. You know, if you played high school sports, you had to work out. But I was not eating right at all. And I look back and I was like, you know, I've heard people talk about all the sodas I drank and the chips I ate, and I was like, yeah, that's more or less it, you know. Not to say that my genetics predisposed me to be where I'm at, but you can eke out a little bit with the right, you know, diet and exercise. With the right diet and exercise in your young years, you can get some results higher than without it. And what I mean is, you're a little bit stronger and a little bit better shape. And that carries with you, you know. And if you don't, and some people just have strong enough genetics that it overpowers that, and, you know, they don't have to hardly work out at all, and they're fit or whatever, or they're in shape. But I guarantee you put them up against somebody that works out all the time, they're not going to be able to hold a candle to them. There's the caveat, is that you actually have to do some work. You know, you can look the part, but you're not actually being the part just because you look like you're in shape. So, anyway, going back, so I was reading about that, and I was like, well, that finally clicks, and it's finally all coming together. It's, you know, why my knee was hurt so badly and why it's still a problem is I didn't eat right as a kid. Excuse me. And if you ask anybody from our family, my sister, my brother, my mom, about, you know, what we ate when we were growing up, and they will confirm that. They will confirm that. You were not meant to live off of Chef Boyardee. You are not meant to live off of Totino's pizza or Doritos spicy nacho bags of chips or bottles of Coke or cans of Coke every day. Or I mean, any of that stuff, or candy, or chocolate. You know, you're just not, or eating the, oh man, I think about this all the time because they were delicious, but this food was bad for you. We had this place in Currents. They don't make them the same way anymore, but they used to. They were called Taco Snacks, and it's this fried flour tortilla shell. And it's like a chimichanga. So it's this fried flour and this ground up beef that's just so bad for you, so high in cholesterol and fat, and not just any cholesterol, I mean like triglycerides and LDL. This stuff is awful. But it's got this this nacho cheese in it, and all of that congealed together with some salt and some cooking grease. Good God, that shit was good. That shit was good. And when, you know, they still sell it. They still sell it. My boy David came down for his birthday all the way from Oklahoma, and he went out to Currents just to get one of those while he was in town. Why he went to Corsicana, I don't know. Somebody convinced him to, and anyway. So he ended up in Corsicana. He stayed at this rinky-dink hotel, and he said that, you know, before myself and my friend Ryan showed up, that he went out to get one of those things, and I was like, man, they don't make them the same though. He's like, yeah, but they're still good. That shit will kill you, man. You eat that shit every day, you're gonna die. It's just not good for you. And that's the kind of stuff we ate when we were kids. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, we just did not eat good, you know. And you look at all the men in my family and how tall they are, except for Dwayne's not blood related, and I think we're the same height. But you look at all the men in my family, almost every single one of them is taller than me. I'd say maybe Dane, my cousin Dane. But then you look at his dad, Eddie. Eddie was shorter than I am. But then Eddie's wife, my Aunt Juanita, who's my blood related, my Aunt Juanita was about 6 feet, maybe even 5'11", I don't know, but she was tall, for a woman, you know what I'm saying, and what I mean by that is that, you know, statistically, women aren't over 5'10", I think the average height for a man is 5'10", and I'm under that, you know, given my family genetics, you look at all the men, it's like, this is not what it should have been. I should have been at least 5'10", oh, fucking well, I'm not. What the hell are you gonna do? You're not gonna do shit, because there's nothing you can do. So, I mean, you can get the surgery to make yourself taller, but that shit ain't worth it. It's just not worth it. I mean, you gotta live with that for the rest of your life. They break your damn legs and put spacers in between the bone, and it's like, no, I'm good, dude. It's not like I'm gonna do anything that's gonna need me to not have my legs broken, but I just don't want to live through that, you know? Just for a couple of inches of height? Yeah, no thank you. People do it every day. Back to Easter, though. My brother's middle child, he couldn't keep up with some of the bigger kids that were faster. And then, you know, you got my sister's kid, her middle boy. He's kind of thin and lean. He's got a little bit of muscle, but not a lot. But he's fast. He's fast for a six-year-old. He can run. And so my brother's middle boy cannot keep up. And then he can't keep up with his older brother, because his older brother is much bigger than him, so he's got, you know, leg length. And so when it turned out that they were getting all the eggs that he couldn't get, man, he threw his basket on the ground. I was like, man! All I could think of is, geez, dude, did I do that? I did that when I was a kid, didn't I? It just triggered all these memories in me. It was like when I couldn't catch my brother and I fell down and scratched my knee up and I started crying and just gave up because there was no way I was going to win. You know, you feel so futile, so helpless. You feel so helpless because there's nothing you can do, but you're still expected to compete and get a shot for, you know, at least something. And it's like, well, yeah, but they're going to have double what I have. They're going to have so much that, you know, they'll be eating on that candy for 2 or 3 days and mine's not even going to last half a day because it's just like 3 or 4 eggs. But, I mean, that's life, you know. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't change it. You know, you can, and I'll give my brother's wife her props for going in there and you know, trying to comfort him and console him. And I was like, dude, it's good that he's getting that now because when he gets older, nobody's going to give a fuck. You can cry, bitch and moan and complain. Ain't nobody listening to you. You know, they just expect you to man up and handle it. And unfortunately, that's the reality of the situation. Nobody's trying to... There's not enough, like... How do you say it? Giving a hand up, you know? Not a hand out. Like, a hand up to get you on your feet after you've struggled to hit the mark. Because, I mean, everybody fucks up. And for him, it was not being able to get his Easter eggs. Boy, he threw a fit. It didn't last very long. So he went inside and started eating pizza, and that kind of helped. It was like, yeah, buddy, I can relate to that too. Comfort food making me feel better. It's amazing how similar you can, you know, you can sit there and analyze your behavior and how similar it is to a child, even when you're in your late 30s. Yep, even when you're in your late 30s. So it's, I mean, just goes to show that some things are just universal. And yeah, like throwing a tantrum when you don't get your way. And so, you know, during Easter, back to my education, right, I asked my brother and sister to help me out with something I had to work on, so I asked them to bring some athletic shorts. Now, when I sent that message and they read it, I didn't expect them to not bring shorts. Well, guess what? My brother didn't bring shorts. Anyway, so he gets my nephew to bring him some shorts. And amazingly, my brother has lost so much weight that they fit. And my nephew, who's... Excuse me, 14. My nephew is growing to the point where his basketball shorts fit on my brother. And I was like, wow, that's impressive, man. Because, I mean, they were a little snug. You know, you could kind of see his business. And you know, that's just because he's a tall, you know, he's a big guy, big man. So, I mean, what do you expect? You're going to see something when you're wearing a 14-year-old's clothing, you know. But they fit him. And he put them on. He's like, yeah, these fit all right. That's pretty good. Like, okay, sure, yeah, fine. And so what we did is we did a video recording of him performing an overhead squat. Now, an overhead squat is a real easy way to assess a whole bunch of muscle groups at one time. And, you know, you got to give Shane credit. He's been doing a lot of chest and shoulder and arm workouts. And, you know, his arms are, like, real vascular now. He's got these veins popping out on his wrist and his hands and stuff. And, his chest is like really thick now because he's been doing all this bench press. I think his one rep maximum for bench press was 330. We did a video recording of it. Anyway, so he, you know, obviously you could tell he's been working out. He lost all that weight. Well, he gets to doing this squat, and I kid you not, listeners, it was like a baby trying to stand up on its own. And I mean, my brother realized it right away. He's like, man, I don't do any lower body workout. Yeah, we get that, man. We can see. And so he starts doing the squat exercise over and over and over. And I was like, brother, that's not good for your longevity, you know? And not to say that he doesn't do any lower body exercise at all. And he has no muscle strength. But for somebody in his weight class at his age, he should be able to squat with his hands above his head and not have balance issues. There's a couple of times there I thought he was going to fall over, but he still made it up. And, you know, he realized it real quick that, you know, his legs are weak. So I don't know for sure if he's going to start doing any sort of leg workouts, but that probably would benefit him. And then I wanted to do a recording of my sister because I wanted to compare and contrast, one, a male's musculature between a female, and two, she's about 6 years younger than him, give or take, and she's also postpartum. And people kind of, this is something I took for granted. You're postpartum your whole life after you have kids because it's post-childbirth. And so after you have even one child, you are postpartum. And she's postpartum for the rest of her life. And so given Shane's got some workout and my sister has no workout, she's younger, shorter, and a little bit heavier as far as body fat percentage goes. And she knows that, you know. Anyway, she gets out there and she does an overhead squat assessment. But I will give her credit. She didn't have the same problems my brother had. She was able to squat without looking like she was, you know, all wobbly and stuff. However, her heels were not staying on the ground. And I looked at it and I had totally forgotten that she was at a friend of hers' place or they went swimming or something and she jumped from a rope into a creek and broke her ankle and had to get surgery on that freaking thing. Just like my mom. It's insane. Anyway, so I had totally forgotten that she had broken her ankle. And so I'm looking at that. And it's like, oh, you got a scar here. Yeah, you had some surgery. She said, yeah, I broke my ankle. And so she's doing this exercise. And instead of having Shane's problem, she's leaning forward and her heels are coming off the ground. And her posterior, I'm just going to keep it classy here. Her posterior was not going the direction it should go. She was kind of like pronouncing her posterior. She was popping it out, you know. And then she wasn't going down as far as my brother. So my brother was trying to drop his squat low because he remembers how to do a squat. And, you know, high school days, you dropped it down. And she was like real tight. So for her, hers was all tightness. Like she has muscle there. She's got some strength, but she's not exercising it enough. And then for my brother, like it's legit a lack of strength in his legs. And maybe we'll see, you know, in time that he may have some improvement there. I doubt it because he has no intention and he has no desire. But, you know, just from that little assessment alone, we exposed some holes in his game. Now, for me, when I do my overhead squat, since I've got this big old belly, my knees pop outward to make room for this disgusting stomach descending down to the ground. But my problem is that, you know, I've been working my legs out for years, but I have not been able to overcome the problems I have in my left knee. My right leg is strong and fine. And however, when I'm doing exercises that involve only my left leg, it wobbles like a radio antenna. I wish you could see it. I can't, you know, show it to you, but I had what was called a bucket handle tear. Now, there's two types of bucket handles tear. There's one that involves the meniscus and the ACL, and then there's another one that involves your lateral medial ligaments, which is what mine was. It was an MCL tear, and it's you think of it like this. You pick a bucket up that has a handle, right, and the handle's connected on both sides of the bucket. It's like got these little pins or whatever that hold it in place. So you pick the bucket up by the handle, you're holding the bucket in the air, and then you take one side of that bucket where the handle is connected and you pop it out, and the bucket just kind of dangles. And you have to like really strengthen your grip to keep the bucket from sliding out of your hand. That's what happened to my knee. And well, anyway, that's the injury I've been having to overcome for 20 years now. So it's a bitch. It's a bitch without surgery. And, you know, I'll probably get surgery in my 40s. But anyway, all that to say, Easter was a good time. Nephew's got some money. Niece's got whatever she got. I don't know what she got, but we had some good conversation. And, you know, what else can you ask for? Things didn't go so bad on the trip down. I can't think of anything else to say, so I'm just going to get on off here. Get my shit out of the garage and get back on the road, back to fucking college. It took me 25 minutes to get home. Excuse me, and now I got to spend another 25 minutes getting back there. So y'all wish me luck. So summer's coming. Don't forget to hydrate. I've been saying hydrate ever since the beginning of my damn podcast. Take care of yourselves. Watch out for that heat. And appreciate y'all tuning in. This has been Aaron Rollins with Southeast Third, and I am signing off.